Welcome to episode 8 of Role Play Grow, the podcast for tabletop entrepreneurs, creators, and fans. I am Courtney Stover of Lightheart Adventures, and in this podcast, we talk to the creators behind the brands and the tabletop roleplay gaming space about who they are and how they are turning their passion for gaming into a career. Okay, I have a pretty fun story about how I discovered today's guest. So back before we set up a Patreon for Lightheart Adventures, I was doing some research on what kinds of D&D and RPG Patreons were out there just to get an idea of what we could possibly offer for our tiers. I was using all kinds of search terms to see what was out there, what was popular. So, of course, one of the terms that I searched for was just D&D. And one of my results was D&D Duet. I opened up their page, I read about what they did, I watched their intro video, and I just went, this is so cool. They create one-shots for one DM and one player. It's really fun. I've played several of their collections so far. They've got campaigns. They've got one-shots. It's a lot of fun. But I found them on Patreon, and then I found their blog, their Instagram, their Twitter. Promptly followed them on all of the platforms and bugging them on all of the platforms. Because, hey, that's how you make friends on the internet, right? Eventually, I asked if they would like to be featured on a blog interview, and they said yes. So that's something that we did a couple of months ago, and I will include a link to that post in the show notes. But today, I'm super happy to introduce you to Beth Ball, fantasy author, game designer, and one of the two masterminds behind D&D Duet. Basically, this episode is all about writing and publishing for DMs Guild, DriveThruRPG, their D&D Duet blog. And Beth is also an author for a novel and novella series. You are going to learn some great tips for managing multiple writing projects. Seriously, she does so much. How to decide which platforms to publish your games on. Because again, we've got DMs Guild, we've got DriveThruRPG, they have their own website. So we kind of dig into the mechanics of what they picked from that. And we go over a lot of great resources for organizing your writing projects. One quick order of business before we dive in. I'm really excited to let you know that we have another way that you can support the show. Back in episode 6, I introduced you to Friday Elliott of Friday Afternoon Tea. We heard some pretty wild stories, and we learned about her tea shop in Seattle and her unique method of designing all of her tea blends. Well, I now have an affiliate code for her online tea shop. So if you go to fridaytea.com and use code LIGHTHEARTADV, you'll get 10% off your order, support one of my favorite people in the industry, get some really delicious tea, and you'll help support the show. All right, that is enough from me. Let's go meet Beth. Today, I am very honored to introduce you all to today's guest, fantasy author and game designer, Beth Ball. How are you today, Beth?
I'm doing so well, thank you.
I am honestly really excited that you're here today. I stumbled across you and D&D Duet, gosh, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago now, and just fell in love with what you guys are doing, and I've pretty much been trying to become your best friend ever since.
Well, that is wonderful to hear. Thank you.
So to start things off, can you tell everyone a little bit about who you are and how you got into the gaming space?
Sure. So my name is Beth Ball. I live in North Carolina. I'm working on my PhD, and that's actually part of how I got into gaming. So my husband, Jonathan, who I do D&D Duet with, or who we started D&D Duet together, he had been playing D&D for about a year, and I was just positive that I would hate it. And so I just was not willing to try. And then he kind of got this idea to create a character in a game specifically for me, and that seemed really fun. So, and oh, he was also going to DM his first session for the people he'd been playing with. And I was like, okay, I will play, I'll give it a try, and we'll just kind of see how it goes. But he'd spent so much time and work kind of going into making the campaign and helping me create a character, and that just meant a lot to me. And then how my academic work comes in is I was super stressed because I had exams coming up that you have to pass in order to kind of keep going through the program. And you have to read all these things. And it's just this, unnecessarily stressful situation to be in. Anyway, so gaming gave me this amazing outlet and kind of helped me manage the stress and anxiety and just the overwhelm, because instead of focusing on this negative thing, it could be like, okay, well, what spells should I probably figure out this weekend before we go face this dragon? That's much more interesting for me to be wondering about than for me to be worried about, you know, something I only have so much control over. And that just really opened up kind of the magic of TTRPGs for me, of you can be this very empowered character who's taking on kind of the bigger questions in the world, whether that's power dichotomies and why people, why people take advantage of other people, and how to be heroic, how to step into bravery even when you're afraid. Any of those sorts of things has been just, it's so much fun.
Yeah. So you're playing a lot of different campaigns right now, I think. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. We play on Tuesdays now. We just moved it. So every Tuesday, I run a campaign for Jonathan called Tales of Eldora. And we stream that on Twitch and then put it on YouTube after. And then on the weekends, he DMs for me. So we call that kind of our home game. And that one switches off depending on kind of which characters we're feeling at the moment. And so it's moved into a slightly lighter campaign than the one we were playing right before the pandemic started, because that one was kind of heavy and dark. And we're like, no, we need something more chill. And so we just switched. And so we play that together every weekend.
What character are you playing in that?
So in that one, I play a Saudade named Persephone. And so she's a storyteller at heart, as well as a druid who she actually spends more time in urban spaces than she does rural spaces. But part of what I wanted to explore with that character was the connection of nature kind of wherever we are, instead of just like, oh, druids have to be this kind of one particular way, where I wanted to see what would a druid who wears lots of jewelry and prefers to be in a city if she can, or at least on the road and with her family. And so that's kind of where Persephone started and grew from there. But for me, her character lets me kind of think about and explore. Storytelling is just a huge thing in my family. I'm from Appalachia, and so that's part of it too. And so Persephone and her people kind of let me work through some and play with some of that.
That's really cool. And I honestly really enjoy all of the druid things that you do and write about. And we're definitely going to get into that. But I'm curious if there's like a specific reason, or if you just feel a really strong connection with druid characters.
So it is that I feel really connected to druid characters. And if I'm not a druid, I'm usually a ranger if I like have to branch out a little. But I'm really interested in nature and in the environment and our connection, or sometimes seeming lack of connection to nature. But I've always been drawn to the natural world while also not being the most outdoorsy person. Like, my family loved to go camping and I'm not the hugest fan. I find it kind of stressful. But I just think that it sounds like cheesy to say, but I think nature is just so beautiful and powerful and mystical and kind of all of these things. And it can kind of take us into these different parts and places of ourselves. Like, it's very expansive. And at the same time, I like a lot of my academic research involves global warming and how our contemporary novelists representing and thinking about global warming in ways that are empowering, because we have this huge problem that we really need to figure out and do some things with and see movement on. But it's so big and overwhelming. Kind of how are we heroic, to kind of put it in D&D terms? How can we take on these large problems that are so much bigger than ourselves and operate across timescales that are so much bigger than our own lives?
So Jonathan introduced you to it after you first met. When did you start writing your own adventures?
So it wasn't a whole lot longer after. So we started playing in March, and then we released our first adventure in January of that next year. And so it was the same. We launched D&D Duet January 1st, 2019. And that same January, we put out a First Blush, which was our first adventure.
So that leads me into wanting to ask, can you tell us a little bit about D&D Duet and what you all are writing about?
Sure. So D&D Duet is adventures and advice for playing D&D with just two people. And we mostly talk about Dungeons and Dragons because there are so many other, like there are specifically one-on-one RPGs, but I think a lot of it could transfer over to different RPGs. We just haven't quite made it that far yet in what we're talking and writing about. But we really wanted a space where we could help people play one-on-one. And it was for a few months, like we were having so much fun. And it was the thing I look forward to most during the week and was so good for me, like mental health wise and just again, fun wise. And we kept seeing posts on Reddit of like, hey, I want to play D&D with my girlfriend, or yeah, I want to show my fiance, I want to make a campaign for him. And half of the advice that we would see people being given was, well, D&D is a group game, so you need to find more people to play with. And there were a few other resources already online, and Jonathan kept telling me about this website, RPG Duet. And I was like, okay. And finally, we wanted to look up something ourselves. And he goes to look at RPG Duet and discovers that this website he's been talking to me about for 6 months doesn't exist. And I was like, okay, well, then we need to make that because this is ridiculous. Like, so many people are asking for help. We love playing together. We can help people play together. So we just need to do this. And so we did. And it's grown so much more than I think I ever could have imagined. But it's been so much fun.
Yeah. So what kind of posts are you putting up onto the blog?
So we started with some of the basic mechanics. So what kind of tweaks should you make to your character to better set you up for playing one-on-one? What kind of people should you think about running around with for your character? So what kind of DMPC or GMPC should you have, or should you at least try out or consider? And then we kind of branched out from there. Some of my favorites have been talking about different types of characters. So allies, enemies, friends, NPCs, as well as thinking through character personalities, backstories, and motivations. The character side of things is like one of my favorites. But we also like to talk about mechanics for if you accidentally get into a fight with your significant other or duet partner because a combat goes weird. How can you kind of manage that and prevent it from happening in the future? And so those sorts of things. So we try to focus as much as we can on playing one-on-one. And a lot of the people in our audience are brand new to D&D. And so they're kind of like me, where the way that they're being introduced to playing is this one-on-one style. And I don't know, there's so many resources for D&D already, but we just kind of saw this gap and wanted to fill it. And it's been really cool that we've been able to help so many couples and friends or siblings and parents playing with their kids. Like, it's just my favorite thing when we get to hear from somebody who's like, oh yeah, we started because you wrote this adventure and we ran through it and it turned into this whole campaign. And it's so cool.
Honestly, I'm one of those people that I was introduced to tabletop RPGs through a different game and then was always like really hesitant about D&D and then started playing it, loved it. Still didn't want to DM it. I was like, it's so complicated. There's so much. Mm-hmm. And then found First Blush. And well, here we go. Now I'm actually DMing. So thank you.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
So you've got your blog and you also are putting out a whole bunch of publications on DMs Guild. How are you kind of organizing your time and kind of priorities on whether you're going to put more of like the resources out on your blog versus wanting to get more stories out? What's that kind of division like?
Oh, that's such a good question. And it's one that I'm still kind of working through, especially this past year. We started selling adventures from our own website and on DriveThruRPG instead of just on DM's Guild, since the the IP kind of rules are slightly different, where if you put something on DMs Guild, that's where it needs to be exclusively. And then, you know, you split that profit 50%. And we wanted to be able to have more, and we wanted to be able to set things in the homebrew world that we've made and have been working on together. And so we started doing adventures on our blog as well as on Drive-Through. And that's been really cool to kind of open up what we can create. And so I don't know, this past year, we haven't published quite as many adventures as I like would have wanted to. But to me, it's like, I always want to do more things than you could possibly do in like one set period of time. So it's like, okay, I should probably be doing an independent adventure and a DM Guild adventure every month. That would be good. And then, you know, you just make these impossible lists for yourself because there are so many stories and it's so much fun. But to answer your question more specifically, I spend the mornings every day, Monday through Friday, writing, working on my fiction. And then in the afternoons, right now I'm having to split time between my dissertation and my D&D writing. And then I usually one afternoon will work on blog posts or setting up for Tales of Eldora or something along those lines. I split the time in the afternoons between the D&D writing and working on my dissertation, but I'm hoping to finish my dissertation this summer, and then I'll be able to create more adventures and longer form campaigns and just kind of play around a bit more with the type of D&D and storytelling work that I'm doing in the TTRPG space.
That is so much writing. How do you stay motivated?
Oh, I love it. It's just like, I think it depends. Towards the end of last year, and it's like, it's really when I finish one of the novels that I kind of notice a major drain. But I think each piece of writing has its own kind of emotional hurdles to manage. But so if I can keep them at slightly different places where I'm not spending one whole day proofreading things really carefully, but one is kind of at the ideation phase, one is in the middle of drafting, which for me is often the hardest, and then one is in the revision stage, which is the most fun. That tends to work really well. That's not always possible. And I'm not so much of a planner that I can kind of organize it to where that happens. It's more like, oh, thank goodness this worked out. Writing is how it helps me kind of think and process, and it's so key to the way that I understand the world. And so as long as I stay balanced with like us playing together on the weekends helps me so much. Like if we have a really fun D&D weekend, I'm like refreshed and ready to go to create over the course of the week.
That makes sense. Yeah. I want to go back to a point that you touched on, which was that you have moved away from publishing on DM's Guild to publishing more on DriveThruRPG. My question is that I know that DM's Guild, that using kind of the Dungeons and Dragons IP, that there's some pretty strict rules and that you're able to do more if you're publishing on the DM's Guild versus DriveThruRPG. So how have you had to modify what you're able to include in your adventures?
We actually came at it, like the first iterations of First Blush and the Crystal and Curse trilogy, we were still kind of learning the rules of publication and everything on DM's Guild. And so we kind of set that in a neutral world setting that we just gave a random name to. But you're not really supposed to do that, which we learned the hard way of somebody pointing it out to us. And we're like, oh my gosh. And so I had to go through and fix it and set it in the Forgotten Realms. So it's been more just kind of, for us at least, it's a question of where is the adventure set? And then are you having to create more creatures and be careful with the spells and mechanics, because the things on DriveThruRPG or that we're selling on our website need to conform to the 5th edition SRD, which I think is standard resource document or something like that. I just know SRD. Versus the stuff that we've been putting on DM's Guild, one of the things, because I know that, like, especially since your audience is so many creators, one of the things that I wish we'd taken advantage of maybe more, or something we're trying to be really mindful of, is making sure to use the Wizards IP, because there's so many cool creatures, so many cool NPCs and mechanics and all of those sorts of things. And so I think we've maybe put some things on DM's Guild that might have been technically better somewhere else and then had to do some tweaks and stuff like that. So for us, we've kind of worked on our house home rule of if we're putting it on DM Skilled, it needs to be not only set in Wizards of the Coast world, but taking as much advantage of the existing IP there as possible. Whereas if we're creating something really new is like, I don't know, if we're creating lots of new creatures for something and setting it in our homebrew world, then of course it needs to go on our website and DriveThruRPG. So that's kind of how we've tried to make that divide. One of the things that in the indie author, self-published author space that they talk about a lot is, you know, the importance of having your own website, creating your email list, all of those sorts of things. But what they say is don't build your empire on borrowed land. So don't create everything that you're working on through Facebook. I think in that same way, we're going to be somewhat limited with what we can do, or that, and that seems like more restrictive than I think that it actually is. But there are only so many things that we can put on DM's Guild, and I think only so many things we should put on DM's Guild versus DriveThruRPG and publishing on our own web space kind of opens that up a lot for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. We've definitely felt ourselves that DM's Guild can be a little limiting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the hard thing is too, so like, and I hope this isn't like oversharing, but we make more money from DM's Guild than we do anywhere else. And so I think that that's a really, we have to be really careful with that balancing act, I guess, of, and I think that was part of what drove us to starting to publish on our own website. Our Patreon was growing and that was really exciting. But we have all these cool big ideas and plans for like where we want to be going over the next few years. And as cool as the different things on DM's Guild are, the our kind of larger projects we didn't think would be such a good fit there. And so we've been slowly expanding what it is that we're working on.
Well, now I'm curious and I want to know how much you're willing to share.
So what I really want to do is I really want to find more ways to bring the fiction and the TTRPG spaces together and specifically in our world of Azuria. So we want to have like a full playable campaign set in Azuria that will kind of follow some of the storylines of the novel. Some of them will be of the novels. Some of them will be unique because, you know, you just have different storyline requirements for novels and RPGs. So I want to play with that and have like an Azuria setting and world guide and all of those things so that if people want to play and create in that space, they can. Leaning into the nature and druidy side of things, I really want to have, in my head, it's a book that kind of brings together mechanics for different cool, unique plants that also have lore and stories behind them. And so it's kind of blending those things together because I think so much about the year that it took for me to be on board with playing. And I kind of wondered if I had had a different, not that Jonathan did anything wrong, but if someone could have given me a novel and been like, hey, and I know that there are D&D novels too, but hey, here's this thing, here's what these kind of stories can do. And then on the flip side, I don't know if that would have made me more open to D&D or not. Maybe it would have taken a year regardless, but that's just something that I've kind of thought of is how can we open this up a little bit more?
That is a really fascinating idea. I got kind of that just transition point, I think it would be really cool. And I agree. I think it'd be really beneficial for a lot of people that are maybe a little more hesitant or just not entirely confident on how D&D would work.
Yeah, I hope so. And we'll see how it goes too. But I'm really excited about it. And so it's just like playing with different forms of storytelling too. I think that we're going to, I feel like that part of our world is going to keep opening up more and more in the years to come. And so just playing with those sorts of stories. And I love the interactive storytelling that TTRPGs kind of give you the structure to create for other people versus with fiction. There is an exchange between the author and the reader, but it's still more structured versus TTRPGs. Like you're really encouraging people to be, I think in most cases, depending on the story, but for me, at least, like I'm a different version of myself or a better version of myself as one of my characters. And that's super fun to explore.
Yeah, that's definitely what makes role playing so fun and interesting is that, you know, especially even if you have like a hidden part of yourself that you don't necessarily want to portray to others, you get to in your characters.
Exactly. I love that.
What would you say has been kind of your tactics for getting all of your works out into the world? It sounds like you're being really successful on DMs Guild, even though you are starting to branch out away from it. But if someone was, you know, wanting to start off with DMs Guild or DriveThruRPG for the first time, like what kind of tactics would you give them for advice?
So I think the advice that I would give them, depending on what they were trying to do, I think part of what has helped us be successful is having the content side of D&D Duet. So we're not just putting adventures out there, we're also building an audience for those adventures. So, I mean, all the advice on our blog, our YouTube videos, all those things are free. And so I think that that's really helped, where you're kind of creating a space that then sends people onto where they can buy stuff from you. So whether somebody's Googling, how do I play D&D with my boyfriend? And then, oh, look, one-on-one D&D, what is that? And they kind of go from there. Or somebody recommending us on Reddit, for example. I always love when I see that. That would be my advice, of create a space, create resources where you are giving to the people that you would also be writing for. So like, create your audience, give them a place to kind of be, give to them, and then they're going to be more likely to buy from you, I guess. And I don't think it has to be such a give and take or reciprocal relationship. It's so cool that like we get to create stories that people want to interact with and recreate and make their own inside of their own homes. Like, I think that's so crazy powerful. But I think that would be my advice, of if you can, or just figure out a way to, it helped my writing so much too, to put out a weekly blog post. It's helped me get to know our audience and get closer to them and learn what it is that they want. And so that would be my biggest piece of advice, so that you're not having to work quite so hard on social media, for example, or just kind of hope for the best publishing on DMs Guild. It's a huge place. And then from everything that I've seen, DriveThruRPG is even bigger. But how can you kind of create your own little corner of the internet where your ideal audience can come hang out and then support you?
That makes so much sense. You both have found such a needed niche. Mm-hmm. And so I think that just sounds really special, that like you have this space where you are able to build and connect with so many people. And then, yeah, DMs Guild and DriveThruRPG both, like there's such a large area that it's really hard to stand out. So I think having that support is really good advice.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope that's helpful. And I know that feeling like, oh my gosh, I have to come up with something new and unique to say, that, oh, there's so many people in this space already. Like, it can feel really stressful. But I think to kind of take that pressure off of yourself, of, you know, there are going to be plenty of people talking about whatever topic is most important to you in whatever kind of adventures, or maybe you want to focus on particular subclasses or something, I don't know. In whatever it is that you want to create, like you have a unique angle on that. And so kind of finding that heart thread between what can I offer to people that's going to help them, kind of from that content nonfiction-y sort of space, that's also going to be the tie-in to your adventures.
Yeah, that is amazing advice. So you'd say that you've been able to get more visibility because you've carved out this little section, this niche with your blog. How are you getting traffic to your blog?
So I think that most of the traffic comes to our blog from just Google searches, or just however people are looking up information online. And then we're working on growing our kind of video library on YouTube. And then Jonathan does our Twitter and I do our D&D Duet Instagram. And so we have things in both of those spaces too. And I can say for me, for Instagram especially, it's been a great place for me to connect with other people in the community. And then D&D Twitter for me has been a fun place to connect with other creators. So those are kind of the, if we think of it like as a funnel or way for people to find us, that's been kind of those spaces. I think some people actually find our adventures on DMs Guild first and then make their way to our website. And so it kind of, I guess, just depends on what exactly they're searching for and where they're coming from.
I do want to ask and just get a little bit of a better idea of kind of how you and Jonathan work together to make D&D Duet successful.
Sure. So right now, and actually kind of since we've gotten started, I have enjoyed the blog post so much. And so I've written almost all of the posts on our blog, and the ones he's written are amazing and I love them, but he doesn't enjoy writing them quite so much, which is fine. And so I kind of took that over, especially because so this past year in June, I started doing the TTRPG and fiction work full time. And so he's been teaching for the past 4 years. He's a 12th grade English teacher, and then just moved to a more administrative position this year. And so he's needed more of the time at work anyway. And so that's kind of how we split those things up. And then depending on the adventure, some I write, some we co-write, some he writes, and then I kind of edit and revise before we publish them. And so it just depends a little bit on where we are and what we're making and kind of how busy he is at his job. Whereas my work and time have been a little bit more flexible. And I tend to like to, I don't know if it's like a typing things out or what exactly it is, but especially like blog posts or those sorts of things come a little bit easier for me. And then on the weekends, like he's the one who is DMing our games almost always. And I think that's such an important part of our process that I want to make sure I always acknowledge, like, he is the one who I learned so much from him in terms of how to DM, how to kind of give somebody the space to figure out their character, how to weave these really complicated and exciting and interesting plot points together. And so that's just as much like what he shows me when I'm when I'm playing and he's the DM tends to be what I write about on our blog.
I think it's very important to have both the experience as the player and the DM when you're trying to create content for this community.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so often that like a lot of the advice online is for DMs, but I think that, you know, as a player, like I want to learn things too, and I don't necessarily want to learn things in the same way. I think that for, at least for me as a player, I maybe want more inspiration than anything else, or some different fun, cool ideas of things to try, as well as it kind of like you were saying earlier, it took me a little while to be like, okay, maybe I could DM. I don't know, but I could try. And so that took a little bit of time for me to feel comfortable with doing.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people that don't necessarily want to DM yet just feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So what is some of the tips that you give folks that are wanting to DM but are just a little too nervous?
So I think that keeping in mind that you're going to be harder on yourself than anyone at your table is going to be is really important. And then also not comparing yourself to other people too, and especially because we have access to so many amazing storytellers who have been telling stories through this form for so, so long. The, I think, really obvious one is like maybe your first session, don't expect to be Matt Mercer doing like Critical Role. Like, it's okay that that's not going to be happening because you've woven something unique and special for the people at your table. You don't have to entertain millions of people. Like maybe it's one person, maybe there are like five of them. It's going to be fine. As well as to say, like, if you get stuck, you can ask for help and you can always say, okay, give me just a minute. I need to look this up. For me, when I'm DMing, especially for our Tales of Eldura game, if I get stuck on something, I just ask Jonathan because he usually knows. And so then I don't have to worry about coming up with it. And it's not like he's threatening my authority as a DM or anything like that. Like it's, I can't remember this. What should we do here? Or what do you want to do here? Just kind of putting it over to the players in those instances of getting stuck. But it doesn't have to be perfect. It's just supposed to be fun.
Oh, I love that.
I'm so glad.
I want to switch gears a little bit. And I want to talk about your novels.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. So please, can you just tell us a little bit about what you have written and published?
Sure. So I have started the Age of Azuria High Fantasy series, which is an immersive fantasy world with exciting characters and interesting environments. I lean a lot into nature and druids and different types of nature-based magic. And so if you enjoy those things, I think especially the kind of sense of getting lost in a world, and whether you need that for an escape or it's just fun, or you want to kind of explore certain ideas, that's what I love the most about Azuria and the fiction. And so the first novel in this series is called Buried Heroes. And I published the second in December. It's called Hedvarian Heist. And then I have a couple of different novellas as well. Aurora, and then Song of Parting comes out in February, actually. Oh, wait, no, it comes out on Tuesday. So in a couple of days, I guess. When this goes live, it will be out. So yeah, four things. And so there are a couple different storylines that the novels follow. It's been really fun to talk to readers about them and hear kind of which person, who someone's favorite character is, or which storylines they enjoy the most. And it's been different almost every single time of who kind of resonates with different people. And so that's been so fun for me as a writer.
Yeah. What was your inspiration to not only start writing this story, but to pursue publishing it?
So the story came from, it was actually the first game and the kind of main storyline that Jonathan and I played in our duet game. I just fell so in love with the characters and the world. And I kind of got to the point where I was confident enough. I've wanted to be a writer for like my whole life, as long as I can remember. But I think it took the confidence building of blogging and writing the D&D adventures. And then I had enough space in the other work that I was doing where I was like, okay, I can do this. Like there's space, there's time. And so I had wrapped up a couple other like editing projects. And so I just kind of started writing. And, you know, that first like 120,000 words that you send to an editor is like so intense. And I did a really huge rewrite of that, of Buried Heroes, that first time. And I had done a lot of research, or I listened to a lot of podcasts and read several books from the indie author space. So independently published or self-published authors, there are some amazing resources out, and kind of immersing myself in those gave me also helped me with the confidence to publish. And I'd already done it with the D&D adventures, as well as I have so many, calling them gatekeepers when like they're people I know feels weird. But anyway, academia can be so gatekeepery. And I was like, okay, I have that in this part of my life already. I don't love it. I just want to make what I want to make. And then that's going to be what it is. And so looking at those things and the way that the publishing industry has changed, the way that money and finances have changed in, you know, 21st century art creation, all of those things together made me want to publish the novels myself so that I would own the intellectual property rights and could kind of, if I want to do something different with those stories, I can, like they're mine. And I didn't have to send them off to somebody to get accepted or approved. Like I didn't need a stamp that says this story is good enough. Like I worked at it and worked with professionals in the space. And then, you know, when it was time, out it went.
So walk us through how you self-publish. What does that look like?
I write the thing, and then that takes the longest usually. So you write the thing, and then I found an editor who I love. She's so amazing. And so then I set a date with her, send it off. For Buried Heroes, we did a content edit or a developmental edit and a copy edit. For the novels since, we've just done the copy edit. And so she's going through and kind of like, hey, we need some more things here. And so some of that is happening at the kind of word level, depending on what's going on. Some of it is more at a story level of, you know, there's no reason for the characters to go from here to here. We need a reason. Like you can't just take them there. And I'm like, bah, because some things will make sense to you where you're like, oh, that totally makes sense. This is where I needed them to go. Whereas that motivation isn't necessarily going to be coming across to readers. So anyway, I send it to her for the copy edit, and then it comes back to me and I revise from there. And depending on – that usually takes several weeks because it's really intensive. But those are some of my – that's my favorite – part of the process where you have this almost finished thing, but then in the revision process where you're reworking it, it just becomes so much better than, you know, you thought it was finished before, you thought it was really good before. But then when you can see the holes and the flaws, getting to work with those is just, I just think it's magical. So then I finish the revision and send it back to my editor. She looks over it and sends it to the proofreader. I get it proofread. It comes back to me, make those last kind of small changes. And then do you want to know like nitty gritty, like program wise, what I do, or just kind of what does it look like from there?
Nitty gritty is great. Okay. Go for it.
So I write in Scrivener, and then, so that's like for the drafting part. Scrivener, for those of you who want to be novelists, or even if you're working on a large project, I think Scrivener is amazing. So then I export the document from Scrivener into Microsoft Word when I'm ready to send it to my editor. And that's where it stays until I put it into a program called Vellum, which does ebook formatting. And so they do the formatting in Vellum, and then I upload it to the various stores where we, you know, where you can sell books. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Google Play, Apple, as well as a couple of different fiction aggregators, like Draft to Digital is one example. And they'll send it to some of the smaller places. So that's kind of how it works. And oh, I totally left out. Sorry. I also work with a cover designer who is a fantasy novelist too. So that's kind of cool. And so I work with her, and she creates the ebook cover for me first. And then when I have, like, I know the exact page count and everything, then she creates the print covers for me. And I use, it's called Ingram Spark. And so it's, they do lots of the publishing globally. So either Ingram or Ingram Spark, depending on kind of which side of the publishing world you're coming from. And so then I can just upload the, it's really a PDF from Vellum into their programs and stick and put it with the print covers. And then same thing for the ebook covers, Vellum just kind of attaches it, and I upload that onto the different stores, and then it's ready to go.
I know that you have both ebook copies of the novels, and I've seen pictures of the physical copies. Do you have those in any stores, or is it just like, what is the fulfillment side look like? Like, where can we find your
book? Yeah, no, that's a great question. So the fulfillment side, as far as I know, they're not in any physical stores, though if somebody wanted to put them in one or wanted to get them into the library, it's available there. So when I list them online through Ingram Spark, it basically functions as a wholesale catalog. And so if you are buying a print copy from Barnes & Noble, that's where they're getting it from. Or if you're an independent bookstore and you're purchasing a copy, that's where it's coming from. And so they can just kind of pull them from there. But it's so cool that these things that exist in physical space are also, like, they begin as digital things. And then all the books are print on demand, which I love, because it, you know, it doesn't take up space and it doesn't have to get pulped. So it's just a lot more ecologically friendly that way too.
That's cool. I honestly had no idea that you could have print on demand novels.
Yeah, it's so cool. And they, I think, come out beautifully. And to me, like, I can't tell that, like, which ones are which. Even with the traditionally published books that I have, like, I don't know which ones have come from like a large stack and then which ones have been more recently printed. And they're just, there they are. They just live in your house.
So my next question, you can choose to answer this about D&D Duet, about being a novelist, both, or anything else. But with everything that you've been doing for the last couple of years, what would you say has been the most challenging part of being a writer?
That's such a good question. So there's a level at which I think continuing to choose and believe in yourself is really hard. And so a lot of that happened even kind of before I got started, but then there will, and was kind of a barrier to me starting. Like, I can't tell you how many novels I've started and only gotten a few chapters into, and or how many times I've been like, okay, I'm going to do it this time, and it doesn't quite work out, or a short story even that I can't finish. But so that, like, that's been one set of hurdles. And it was honestly D&D that helped me get through that, because I wrote so much side stuff for my character that I look back on it and I was like, oh, here's like 100 pages worth of things. if I can write this here and like these fun, cute letters in Google Docs or whatever, I can do this as a novel too. And so it was kind of like that realization of, oh, maybe this isn't going to be quite as foreign or difficult as I thought. So I don't know. I think that the internal resistance, the imposter syndrome that, as far as I've ever seen, all creatives have is the very hardest part. Like it hurts when you get a bad review or somebody doesn't like you or your work, or, and sometimes I hate that I can't create things quickly enough where it's like, is this coming yet? I'm like, oh, that one's stuck. I don't know. Maybe eventually. Or like, just, I need like 4 more weeks. Like some of that can be hard. And I don't want to make light of, you know, when somebody hurts your feelings, like that feels horrible. But I think the internal side of the, like every time I sit down to work on a novel, it's like, I don't know if I can do this. And the fact that I've already done it twice doesn't seem to matter to my like inner critic self. Like she is not convinced that by the 2 novels that she's sitting right next to, it's like, well, maybe you can't do it this time. And it's like, oh, maybe that makes sense. No, it doesn't. So I think that's the hardest part. And then the kind of time balancing, I think, is the other difficult part. Like you were asking earlier about what are you working on when and kind of how do you decide? There are so many things that we could all be doing to grow our platform and increase our audience, make more money and make more things and better our craft. There are always going to be so many things. And I was listening to an indie author podcast a couple weeks ago. One of the hosts was like, you know, you're going to die with a list of things that you didn't do. Just accept that now. There are always going to be things you can't do. So pick the most important things and do those. I was like, okay, that's good. I can do that. Then the other thing that I've, in terms of the fiction at least, that's been harder is that it's taken maybe longer to grow that audience, or it's felt like it's taken longer to grow that audience. So kind of finding ideal readers in that space where it hasn't been quite as clear cut as what worked really well for us in D&D, which was, okay, nobody has dedicated a space, a website to playing D&D one-on-one. And so kind of growing that audience, figuring it out from the fiction side has been more challenging for me.
Thank you for sharing all of that.
Sure.
I think you have some really good advice in there too.
Yeah, I think it's important to share the hard things. And if we don't say it, then I think it can feel like it's just you. And especially thinking about people who are like, I'm just a couple years into this journey. And maybe like 5 years from now, I won't remember or it won't resonate with me quite so much. Like the fear that I felt loading Buried Heroes onto the store, or like the way that it felt to hold my novel in my hands for the first time, or that first like upsetting review on DM's Guild that was like, oh gosh, oh no, now what? Everybody knows. Like those things can feel like the end of the world when like you're going to be fine. You just keep creating and just keep telling stories.
Let's flip this question around and say, what has been the most rewarding part?
So I love that. I think that the most rewarding part has been connecting with other people, and especially getting to share stories with other people. And so when someone gets in touch with us that they played through First Blush on their first date, and then whoever they were playing with loved it and they had so much fun, is great. Or somebody is like using one-on-one D&D to connect with their kids. When I've had people reach out on Instagram, like, oh my gosh, I'm at this part of the novel and I love it so much. I love this character. Like, oh, that's been amazing. And so those are probably my favorite parts of like creating something that's been meaningful to someone else for whatever way, but especially like themes of connection and empowerment are really important to me. And so particularly when I can see those things reflected back, that's what's been meaningful to someone else. And that was really why we wanted to create D&D Duet specifically, was it's been such a great way for us to spend time together and express love and affection. And so when other people get to do that too, it just makes me so happy.
What you make is really special, honestly. I feel like the concept of being able to do such an intimate personal gaming session like this for a game that's usually traditionally for much larger groups I think it makes it really special. There's so much connection that can happen.
Cute. I think so too. And I think that that's what's especially magical about it. And I wonder how much that's maybe what was holding people back before. And also people have been playing D&D one-on-one for forever. We would have people reach out like, oh, it's so cool that you're doing this website. We've been playing this way for 5 years. Awesome. I'm so glad.
Do you have any upcoming projects that you're excited about and can tell us?
Sure. So I'm working on novel number 3 right now. It's called Forest Deep in the Age of Azuria series. And I just had some breakthroughs for it on Friday. So that's been super thrilling. And then I have a novella with my editor right now, Story Magic, which is, it's more of like the storyline around Persephone's story and Hedwarian Heist. So it just kind of expands on that. And then in the D&D space, I've been working for so long, or like thinking about for so long more than like actually putting words on the page, this adventure called Feywild Foray that is going to come after the Crystalline Curse trilogy, but I just keep getting stuck on it. I think because so many people have played through that trilogy and enjoyed it so much that I feel like, oh, I don't want to like mess it up or send the story in a way that is going to make people upset. And that's one of those things, again, like we were talking about a minute ago, where you just have to tell the story that is in your heart to tell and then do your best to make it to where if you create it in the best way possible, and do your best at it and edit, revise, all of those things, people are going to love it. You just need to find those people. So I need to take my own advice and just finish Feywild Foray because it's so fun. I'm really excited about it. I love the Feywild or the Brightlands or any sort of like Fey-ish space. I think it's so fun and exciting. It's so much fun to create for because it seems like anything magical could happen, just whatever you come up with. But I'm really determined to finish that adventure soon. I just don't have a definite date for anybody.
Well, I am excited for that when it does come out, but no pressure. Thank you. Well, Beth, thank you so much for coming on today. Where can people find you?
So you can find my D&D stuff and D&D Duet at dndduet.com. You can find my fiction at bethballbooks.com. I'm on Instagram at bethballauthor and at D&D Duet, and on Twitter at groveguardian.
Perfect. And I'll definitely have all of those up in the show notes.
Thank you.
Again, thank you for coming on. This was a lot of fun. And I'm excited that I finally got to talk to you in not person, but, you know,
mostly person.
More than just text.
Exactly. Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for today's episode of Role Play Grow. To check out the show notes, you can go to lightheartadventures.com/RPG. To keep up with every episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave me a review. Reviews are one of the best ways to help a newer podcast get up off the ground. To follow me on Twitter, you can either find me at LightheartADV for our business account, or at KetraWCR to see me tweet about other things like my dog and World of Warcraft. You can also find us as Lightheart Adventures on both Instagram and Patreon. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week on Role Play Grow.